The Lord's Supper is a great gift and blessing to us from our Lord Jesus Christ, that he has given us this table to come and to remember him. And we benefit the most from the Lord's Supper when we do exactly that, when our minds are on him. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so I hope today to help us to prepare our hearts, setting our eyes on him, remembering our Lord Jesus, and we shall see how we'll look at that from the Word of God today. We'll go back to the passage we read in Matthew chapter 26. If you could please stand there. Matthew 26. The institution of the Lord's Supper. I'll read it again, then we'll pray. "Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, it's always a special time when we can meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Around the supper of our Lord, we thank you for these elements, this bread broken, pointing us to our Lord Jesus and his broken body, and the cup pointing us to the blood of our Savior. We pray, Father, that you will help us, that you will prepare our hearts through this short meditation on your word. We pray that you will help us to look to Jesus, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and minister to us. We know you delight to lift up Christ, to glorify him, and so we pray you would do that, and that our hearts would be drawn after him, that he would be honored through this time. We ask in Christ's name, amen. When our Lord Jesus said, "Do it in remembrance of me, do this in remembrance of me," we can do that in various ways. We can think about his life, we can think about his death, him dying on the cross for us. But an aspect of it as well, it's through his words. We can listen to him as he speaks. And today, that's more where I want to take us for this evening meditation. And we'll center it around the cup. This cup that we celebrate. You see how in Matthew 26, verse 27 there, he takes the cup and he gives thanks and he says, "Drink. Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And in having our attention center more on the cup. I'm not taking anything away from the bread, which tells us of the body of our Lord, because these two go together. Christ's body was broken in order to shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And so we should not separate them too much. And the way we'll look at it today is actually we'll go through various places in the Gospel of Matthew where the word cup is found. So the different ways cup is used in Matthew's Gospel. And we'll see how all of that helps us to appreciate the cup of the Lord's blood. Now, cups are something we're familiar with. It's when you have a meal, often you'll drink. You'll have a cup of something to drink on the side. And maybe you have a favorite cup. Some of you ladies in your cabinet, there's that cup in the home that's used more than others. My most favorite one recently is one that has Psalm 23 on it. My cup runneth over, my cup overflows. And so cups, it's something we use often, especially at a meal and at a feast. And the Lord's Supper, it is a feast for the believer. It's as if Christ, the great host, invites us to come and to share in the blessings of the new covenant. It's a picture, in a way, also of the life to come when all of God's people will be gathered with the Lord, that great supper of the Lamb. The gospel, you remember, is pictured in terms of a feast. We have those different parables in the gospels that it's God who spread out this feast and he is inviting, come one, come all, come and eat and drink and be satisfied. So the Lord's Supper as well has this cup. But there are other cups in the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll take them as they appear in the Gospel. The first one is in chapter 10, verse 42, and we'll call this the cup of kindness. Matthew 10, 42. If you have your Bible, you can stay in Matthew and we'll look at them. Matthew 10, 42. The context is the Lord Jesus is speaking about the reward that he gives to his people out of his graciousness in reward for their service, different ways they've honored him. I'll just read 42. He's previously spoken about the one who receives, one who is a prophet, one who receives, one who is a righteous. In 42, says this, and whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the first instance of cup in Matthew. We're calling it the cup of kindness, the cup of Christian kindness. Whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water because he is a disciple will not lose his reward. This is how the Lord Jesus sees kindness done towards his people. He takes note of it, and he will reward it. So in coming to the Lord's table, one of the ways then that we can honor the Lord who shed his blood for us is in how we deal with one another, with his disciples. One of the ways you show your value of that cup is in your service and kindness towards those who are his disciples, who are called by his name. And that's one of the reasons we do it together. You're not at home sitting by yourself having the Lord's Supper. There's a communal aspect then to the Lord's Supper. This is the cup of Christian kindness. It's as if you're saying, the Lord Jesus died for that brother, then how should I be with them? How should I regard them? Romans 14, there's this line that's in the context of the weaker brother, and this is Paul's reasoning. He says, why do you pass judgment on your brother, or you, why do you despise your brother? And he goes on to say, where is this? It says in verse, I'll read from 20. He says, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything indeed is clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. And in verse 15, it speaks there, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love, By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. You see his reasoning there. The brother, someone for whom Christ died, is valued in Paul's eyes. They're valuable, the brethren, the children of God, the disciple of Christ. And so Christ says, whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, he will not lose his reward. And of course, this extends to all deeds of kindness and love and affection for one another that we can express. We should desire to be channels of blessing to the disciples of Christ. And so, to take us back here again, we have sins to confess in that realm, right? Lord, forgive me that I've not been what I ought to be to my brothers. I've not, and sisters. Lord, forgive me and help me, motivate me by your shed blood to be a loving Christian to others. So thank you to whoever put this cup here. So that's the cup of Christian kindness. The second cup in Matthew chapter 20, if you go to Matthew chapter 20, Matthew 20, verse 22. And the context is the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John. She comes to Jesus and she is requesting that they sit with Christ on his right and on his left. And this is what Jesus replies. We're calling this the cup of suffering. Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We're able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." So this is the cup of suffering. There is suffering before glory. That's what the Lord is teaching them there. They are asking for glory, and the Lord tells them, before there is suffering. And this is true for us today as well. In the path of righteousness, in the path of following Christ, there is the cup of suffering. In Romans 8, we read there that we shall indeed be glorified with him if we suffer with him. And so part of our calling as believers, part of what we should expect is a measure of suffering. How does it relate to the cup of the new covenant, the cup of the blood of Christ? Well, for one, it's a motivation. I mean, it should be, Lord, you shed your blood for me. You have given me this cup of blessing, this cup of your blood for the forgiveness of my sins. And so then, Lord, help me to bear whatever suffering you might call me to in this life for your name's sake, motivated by your shed blood. And again, do we not have sins to confess in regard to this cup? One of the things we do at the Lord's Supper is examination, and how often we shrink back and avoid suffering for Christ in big and in small ways. We have that to confess. Lord, forgive us that our love is so small, and help us that we would be willing to drink the cup of suffering that you bring into our life in your providence, and that we would honor you in that. But there's also encouragement here. Whatever suffering, whatever cup of suffering is in your hand right now, Christian, you can also draw encouragement, though, from the cup of blessing. The Lord has shed his blood for you, and he loves you. And what shall separate us from the love of Christ? What shall separate us from the love of him who shed his own blood for us? You know, Paul saying in Galatians, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He's there when we drink in the cup of suffering to help us and sustain us. So that's the second cup, the cup of suffering. The third cup, we'll find this in Matthew 23, verse 25 to 26. And what to call this one? We'll call it the cup of your life, the cup of your whole being. Chapter 23, verse 25. Jesus is pronouncing those woes, those hard words against the Pharisees. And he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." He says, "You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate so that the outside also may be clean." We see in the cup of your life, the Lord Jesus pictures the life of these men and us as a cup. It's this vessel. And he is speaking against them because they were concerned about the externals, the outside. What can be seen? What's outside instead? So they were seeking to clean out the outside, while the inside was not clean, was full of greed and self-indulgence. What would you think if you went home today and you're having your, I don't know what you drink at night, cup of tea, and you have this cup and you clean it only on the outside, and inside it's old, rotting, dirty milk or something like that. Would you use that cup? Would you drink that cup from that cup? It's not right. It's not fitting to clean only the outside of the cup and leave the inside dirty. And so the Lord Jesus says this to the Pharisees: You clean the outside, but the inside is not clean. It's dirty. This cup was shed for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And one thing the Lord Jesus is teaching us, that he teaches us about sin, is that sin is primarily an inward issue. It's a matter of the heart. In Matthew 15:14, it says, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." These dirty things come from inside the heart. So what's in your cup, the cup of your life? Christ is saying here we should be concerned to clean the inside. And so this calls for self-examination. How am I? Is my Christian life only an outward thing, or is it from the heart? Is it from within? And the good news is this. This same Christ who shed his blood, what is he able to do? He's able to clean the inside of your life. He can sweep all the dirt from within and make you clean, not only from the outside, but from inside. And so that's even today, as we're thinking about his shed blood and his broken body, that's confess sin. Say, "Lord, here it's in there. Help me. Forgive me. Help me. Clean me from the inside." If you're not a Christian, don't try to just make it to do an external act. Ask the Lord to clean your heart, to give you a new heart. Like David, "Create in me, O Lord, a clean heart, a pure heart within me." And as believers, as we come, there's a call as well for us, right? We're to confess our sins. "Lord, forgive me." It's confession, it's like the vomiting of the soul, removing those dirty things, and asking the Lord, "Cleanse me once more and help me. You shed your blood to pay for these sins. I know you can forgive them justly. So cleanse me, wash me Make me whiter than snow, and do it as an inward work. So that's the third cup, the cup of your life. It's this cleansing, yes, by regeneration, by the new birth, but also ongoing as the Lord sanctifies us and washes us. May he do that even today, the cup of your life. So we've seen the cup of Christian kindness, the cup of suffering, the cup of your life, the cup of your being, inward being. We'll look, fourthly, at the cup of wrath. You notice I'm in order, if you go across Matthew, the next cup is the one we read about. But I'll go later in that chapter, Matthew 26, in verse 39, where we see the other cup. 26, verse 39. And the context here is our Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is sorrowful, even to death. He says to three of his disciples, stay here and pray, watch with me. He's sorrowful. He is looking for what's coming in facing the cross. And we read in verse 39 his prayer. He says, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. What is this cup? In a way, it is connected to the cup of suffering that we saw. The Lord Jesus is going to suffer. He is real man. He's fully God, but he is real man. And so this is difficult. This is hard. He is facing such great suffering in the cross. But it was more than that. In Jeremiah 25, verse 15, God says to Jeremiah there, he's speaking, he tells him to take the cup of the wine of his wrath and to give it to the nations. The cup of the wine of wrath. God's unmixed, just anger and punishment against sin. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is facing. This is what he takes on the cross. The Father crushes a son in justice to pay for sin. That's the sword that breaks his body to shed this blood. It's the stroke that justice gave, the punishment that he bore for you and for me, if you are a believer in Christ. The cup of wrath, that's what he is facing. And praise be to God that he did take it. He did face the cup of wrath, and he hung on that cross and he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he was punished for sin so that God can justly forgive sin. That's the cup of wrath. And because he took that cup, he can therefore offer this cup. He can say, take. He gives thanks and he says, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant is speaking about the new covenant, where God promised what he is going to do in the new covenant, where he would forgive the sin of his people, where he would give a heart of flesh in place of a heart of stone, where he would put his spirit, he says, I will put my spirit within you. I'll write my law in your heart so that you will walk in my ways. That's the new covenant. And the Lord Jesus is saying, this cup, by my shed blood, I purchase all of those new covenant blessing. The blood of Christ, which forgives our sin and then enters, brings us in into the new covenant blessing. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through the blood of Christ. In him, Paul says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. And that restores us into fellowship with God and eternal life and all the joys of that. No wonder in glory we'll be singing to him who was slain, who shed his blood for us. Because that's the only reason we'll be there. That's the only reason we can enjoy any eternal blessing. It's because our Lord took the cup of wrath and then shed his blood and offers it to us by faith. Receive it by believing on the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for sinners just like me. I'm a sinner. No reason I should go to heaven. But I believe you died for sinners just like me. You shed your blood. This is the language of faith. You shed your blood that I might be forgiven. I walk and wash away my sins. Nothing except the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's where we go. Is that your hope today? Is that where you're resting, where you're trusting? So these are the cups then, the cup of kindness, the cup of suffering, the cup of your life being washed, being made clean. And all because the Lord Jesus took the cup of wrath for us so that we might enjoy the cup of blessing. What a Savior, what a salvation. Christ drank the cup of wrath so that we might drink the cup of blessing. His blood cleanses us from all sin, and he calls you by his grace to cleanse the cup of your life by faith, by repentance. And he has the power by his Holy Spirit to do that through the new birth. And then he calls us to honor him. Even as after we partake today, he calls us to go out and honor him. And two ways we've seen there, by serving his people, but also in bearing suffering as he brings it to us. Well, may he bless these words to us and give himself to us spiritually as we partake in the Lord's Supper. Amen.